Hello, and welcome to the Should I Go See It podcast, where every other Friday we take a deeper dive into the one-sentence reviews on shouldigoseeit.com. This week, we'll be discussing Subservience, Y2K, and The Order. I'm your host, Bill George. With me today, as always, AJ Rebecki and super producer Craig Stanton.
Gentlemen, hello. Yeah.
How's everyone doing?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
The holiday season is upon us.
We are in it.
All right.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel.
Everyone, shopping complete? You ready? All of your
one in the park as well. Completed? The sturdy kind
AJ,
that
we'll start
doesn't mind the snow.
Oh, all right.
Tell you what, I've bought a shockingly small amount of Christmas gifts. The number is close to zero. It's way closer to zero than
out
I
of choice or out of like what's the deal here? Laziness, choice. Yeah.
Laziness, busyness. Also, yeah. I'm sort of in the phase of life where I'm trying to talk my family out of doing gifts. Like, can we just...
Ooh, bold strategy.
Can we just not?
Trying to get rid
of
everything?
What do you guys do? Do you guys do sibling gifts? You have siblings. What's the story with siblings?
I only buy for five people, like nuclear family and niece and nephew. That's it.
So siblings are on the list?
Yes.
See, I'm trying to cut siblings out big time.
Yeah, got him. So here's how we do it. All the kids in the family, so my kids, nieces and nephews, they get their gifts, right?
Oh, God, yeah. That's
of course.
The whole point of this.
And then
the
each of
the season.
My family and Hannah's family, parents and brothers and sisters, in-laws, right? Sister-in-law, uh-huh. Brother-in-law. And then the same thing on my side. We just do a fucking Yankee swap. Or
Yankee
Secret
Santa,
sure. Whatever it's called. Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That way, like, everyone picks one person, and it just makes it a whole lot easier.
Okay, that's
Secret Santa. That's a Secret Santa.
Yankee Swap is different. Grab is different. They're different things.
Let me explain. One family, one side. Hannah's family does a Secret Santa. We pick a person.
Okay. Yep.
And then on my side, we do a White Elephant Secret Santa. I mean, White Elephant Yankee Swap, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Where you pick a number, and then it's fucking gruesome.
And yeah, I would love to get to that point with my
pick. You have to. You have to lay down the line and say, listen, if we don't do this, I'm gonna poison us all with carbon monoxide.
That's the only way. It's truly
Merry
the only
Christmas,
way.
You filthy fucking animals. Bill.
Fantastic. Yes.
Happy early birthday, bud.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Do you get double presents still?
I used to get combo presents going all the time growing up. I was born
like, Billy, I got you a little something extra this year, pal.
I was born on Christmas Eve, so I get... presents that are, this is for your birthday and Christmas, but they're better presents. And so I was always fine with it because growing up, I would mostly ask for video games. And so they would give me a video game and that would count for both because they're expensive and that was fine. So
sure.
I also have zero frame of reference. I've only had the one birthday, so I can't really speak to what it's like to not have that birthday. But for me, it's been fine. No real trauma there.
No. Oh, we could unpack this. Okay,
not that you can identify.
Yeah, not in this time period. Speaking
Fair
of
point.
Christmas, uh-huh. Boys, Craig, Bill, I think we have a special holiday episode in the works, correct?
That is correct. We are looking to record a crossover episode with our friends at the Media Lit podcast where we will be doing a holiday movie draft. So that should be a good time. Look for that in the next week or two.
So this is going to be our last full episode before Christmas, but don't you worry. We will have an episode out of our holiday spectacular with the Immediate Boys before Christmas, correct?
Should be coming out the week of Christmas, thereabouts.
I think, perfect. Yes, but yes.
Cool.
Good stuff.
All right, let's get into it.
Yep.
What'd you watch?
Couple things lately. In November, end of November, around Thanksgiving, I watched Knives Out for the first time in a while. And it just felt like the right movie to watch for that New England autumnal feel.
It's a good Thanksgiving movie. Knives Out
Very
is a
good
Thanksgiving movie. Okay.
Fantastic.
Foliage
so,
all
a lot
over
of
the
foliage.
Place.
So loved revisiting that. So good. Also did a rewatch of Whiplash. Been a couple years. I know it's one of our favorites as a crew here. That was great. And then I also, I mentioned I rewatched Inglourious Basterds a few weeks ago. And then I kind of just got on this Tarantino kick. So I rewatched Django, which had been a long time. And then I rewatched Kill Bill Volume 1.
Jesus.
And just trying to, now I'm in it. Now I'm just going to watch them all and like try to pick a favorite or a best. And I, so far, it's basically impossible. It's just so good watching these movies with fresh eyes. I mean, the guy's just, that's the best. It's just so good. So that's been my, I've been going down that Tarantino rabbit hole lately.
Apparently, is like, are you getting a lot of ad for feet related things now?
No, but my algorithm is like interviews with Tarantino on Howard Stern, and like yeah. He'll say something about a movie, and then it'll make me want to watch it, and then here we are. So that's kind of where I end up. What Craig have didn't get you been watching?
Well, Craig didn't get the joke. You didn't know that Tarantino's got a little.
Is he a foot guy?
Yeah, he's a big foot guy. Mm-hmm. Big foot guy. Like when he recorded that scene of the bride trying to wiggle your big toe. I mean, he was just behind the monitor, just in a full sweat, like his he bit through his jaw. He went that far with his lip bite. Anyways, what did I watch? Well, Bill, I watched a movie called Wolfs, and not with a V-E-S, but a F and an S. Wolfs.
Oh, interesting grammatical choice.
I don't know. It stars George Clooney and Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. It was in theaters for literally 1 week and then got pulled and got moved to Apple TV. How is it? It's a Clooney Pitt buddy movie.
Extravaganza.
They are two conflicting fixers or wolves in the business that their job is to make sure that bad things go away. And it's kind of like Ocean's 11, but just them two. And
is it like, fine. I mean, Clooney also played a fixer in Michael Clayton. Is it like a comedy Michael Clayton?
It's like if Michael Clayton and Ocean's 11 combined.
Okay. That you're selling me on that.
It's a good movie. It's not going to change your life.
Sure.
I can see why it flew under the radar. Mm-hmm. It's a good date night movie. We watched it. I chuckled a few times. I was invested in the story. It's good.
Okay. Is there action? Legit action?
Yeah. Car chases, shootouts? What do you got?
Car chases, shootouts. It's mostly a talkie, but I would say a talkie suspense. But I would say, like, you know, a good 50% still has some good action beats.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It was good, like a good date night movie. Okay. And then, because we're in the Christmas season, of course, I'm going through and watching just, you know, the stuff. Elf, yeah, like Home Alone. You know, just that kind of stuff. Here's a funny one. Two funny ones that I think got lost in time.
Yeah.
One is The Night Before, starring Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Anthony Mackie. And it's narrated by Tracy Morgan. Mm-hmm. And it is ridiculous.
Yep. I did see that when it came out. I think I gave it a no, to be honest. I don't recall.
Oh, okay,
but
cool.
I wonder how it would be on rewatch. I just remember at the time I thought it was fine.
It's one of those things you put on late at night and you're just like, this is funny, and I chuckle. And the other one is Office Christmas Party, another just stupid.
Oh, yep, I remember that one.
Jason Bateman, Olivia Munn, again, just dumb.
Yeah,
just
you're finding the deep cuts. Comedies. I like it, yeah.
Listen, that's what kind of guy, when you come to the draft, I'm preparing for the draft because y'all better come corrected and I'm going to win best Christmas guy.
Okay. Movie. We'll see. We will see.
Man. Craig, you been watching anything? You kind of looking into the abyss like you're contemplating life.
Guys, have not been watching much. I've been kind of running around. I've actually really not been home much since our last recording. I was away like the day before Thanksgiving until like just a couple days ago. So I am, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got zero. I got something for Netflix and Bill, but I don't have any feature length films, but we're about to kick it into high gear here, Christmas movie wise. So I'm looking forward to
that. Speaking of tour, we want to congratulate Craig on his band winning Boston Music Award for best hardcore punk band.
Best punk/hardcore Woo! Band 2024. Tough Congrats. Day Congrats. To be a hater. The Rebuilder Boys have won. Thank you.
They did it. They did it. They reached the mountaintop.
Was last night a tough night to be a Miller Lite? Did he just crank one down in celebration?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been a fun ride here with the Boston Music Awards. Our first nomination for this was, I think, 2014. We've been nominated every year since. We've never won. So much so that we didn't go to the ceremony and weren't really paying much attention. Fortunately, we had a friend that was there. She was nominated for Photographer of the Year and won. And she let us know that we won the damn thing. So that was cool.
Wow.
Wild.
Played some nice big shows this weekend as well. Opening for a much bigger band than us, which is always a privilege and a pleasure. So yeah, tough week for the haters, tell you that much.
Yep.
Good week for the Rebillionaire boys.
Eat one.
Congrats.
Yeah, I feel like I don't get your tour information from you. I get it from the photos that your mom takes on Instagram.
Well, normally we would bring the aforementioned photographer, Brittany Rose Queen. She typically tours with us, so these shows are very well documented. She did not come on this run, so it may as well have never happened as far as I'm concerned.
Understood. Cool.
What's in the news, AJ?
Well, we're going to do in the news, unfortunately, this week, just with schedules and the holidays, and thus we don't have an IDZY this week. We will get back on track with IDZY probably post-holiday season. But in the news, Bill, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association released their full list of nominees for this year's Golden Globes. Emilia Perez led the way with 10 nominations in film categories, and The Bear had the most TV nominations with 5. Looking at the full list, William George II. What's your take? Mm-hmm.
My take is it's an odd list. I mean, I'll start with the fact that I can't really speak to the TV element of it at this point. I watch Shogun and I watch The Bear, but that's about it. I just don't really watch TV anymore. I've tried to expand the scope and the breadth of how much I review a year for film, and so I just don't have the time, and I like movies more. So I'm not going to touch on the TV stuff. I'll leave that to you if you have thoughts. Also, the Globes themselves, I am actually excited to watch them for the first time in a long time because Nikki Glaser is going to be the host, and I think that's going to be fun to see because I love her. All right, movie nods. They're just strange. Like, there's a bunch of drama nominees that I haven't seen yet because they're not even released to the public, which is always kind of a drag. So I can't really speak to best motion picture drama. I've seen all but one of the best motion picture musical or comedy. And of course, we now run into the classic Golden Globes situation of things being nominated outside of their actual genre. And the one that stands out the most is The Substance, which is like a body horror thriller that somehow gets lumped into musical or comedy, which is validating in a way because I did laugh throughout The Substance, but I thought that was because I was a sick individual. But now I feel validated because other people also thought it was a comedy. So I guess I'm not alone. And I think because it's just a very specific genre movie that does not fall into drama, they just like, even though it's more horror, they threw it into musical or comedy for whatever reason. But that was a surprise nominee. Very excited to see. I think Wicked's probably going to take that category because it just has all of the zeitgeist and their sentiment behind it. I think Anora should win that. So we'll see. I really am pulling for Anora to win Best Musical or Comedy. And then Best Drama, I can't speak to until I really see the things that there's about 3 or 4 that have not come out yet. I got to see before I can speak to that. And then my other thought was on animated feature, Inside Out 2, probably going to take it, but really hope Wild Robot does. That's what I'm pulling for on that one. But otherwise, most of the nominees are basically as expected. What did you think when you saw the list?
I thought that the Golden Globes were dumb. That's what I thought.
Sure.
There's just, for example, there's a category called Cinematic and Box Office Achievement.
What does that mean?
Most money, most people who watched it.
It's a combination thereof. It's trying to recognize big movies that do a lot for the industry, but don't necessarily reach the caliber of award winning. So that's where you have something like Alien Romulus, which made a shit ton of money on a small budget and got people talking. But it's a sci-fi movie that doesn't really fit anywhere else.
The classic, that's what the money's for situation. It's like, how do we reward the movies that just made lots of money? It's like, well, they've already been rewarded by making lots of money. But I suppose if you feel the need to hand them a trophy, you can do so here.
I mean, a lot of the talk around this category, which they also added to the Oscars, stems from a movie like Black Panther, which made over $1 billion, was massive. They want to recognize it, but like, is it the best picture of the year? They put it in the nominees when they, because they have a bigger field, but they didn't give it the win. And so after that, they kind of were like, well, why don't we find a way to recognize movies like Black Panther? And so they've created this category.
Yeah, it's just dumb. And then you're looking at like, oh, best performance by a female actor in a television series in drama. And then you're like, oh, Emma Darcy for House of the Dragons and Keira Knightley in Black Dress. And then it's like, oh, Kathy Bates for Matlock on CBS. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke. The whole thing's a joke. So I hope the show is awful. I hope nobody wins. And everyone has a horrible year filled with bad luck.
All right.
Bang.
Moving on. AJ, speaking of award shows, Hans Zimmer, our boy, has been disqualified from winning best original score at this year's Academy Awards for Dune Part 2 because the film reused too high a percentage of music from the first film. So it didn't meet the threshold of being an original score. Hans Zimmer responded by saying, quote, be careful about these rules because what you're doing is in the back of the studio's minds, the Oscars are important and they're influencing the way you're saying whether we can create art or not. And you're saying you can't do that because we won't allow art to be nominated. We should have the freedom to find ways to create whatever comes to us, end quote. So he is not concerned about him not winning. He's more concerned about people changing the way they make movies because they, instead of following their vision, they want to try to win Oscars, which is important to studios. So, AJ, this Academy guideline about original score, fair, foul? What do you think?
I need to know, like, what's the byline? What the bylaw? Like, what does the rule say?
I don't know. I can try to pull the specific rule.
There has to be a rule because he got disqualified for breaking the rule, so there has to be a rule.
Yeah, they just did not consider it an original score because so much of it was already made for Dune 1, and then they just reused it in Dune 2.
Can I ask a pedantic question about the way that this is written? It says, Hans Zimmer has been disqualified from winning. Does that mean he was nominated?
No, I'm sorry. That should have, you could rewrite that as just disqualified from being nominated. Correct.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Cannot be in the category.
All right. In 2020, rules were changed to require that a film score include a minimum of 60% original music. Franchise films and sequels must include a minimum of 80% new music. In 2021, the rules were changed again, lowering the minimum percentage of original music from 60 to 35% of the total music in the film. Okay. I agree with that.
Okay. So you're okay with Dune Part 2 not being nominated for Best Original Score?
If you're literally just... If you created a great score and the score is a auditory language, I don't know if that's the correct term, of the film, and you're just reusing it, but it helps tell the story or continue to tell the story, then that's fine. But if the rule is like, hey, bro, you need to be able to like come up with 35% of new music and you can't do that, then that's the rule. I mean, I don't think Hans Zimmer is going to like, you know, write a message on poster board and, you know, run down the street saying how he's been robbed. I mean,
he's not. But his concern, I mean, the devil's advocate side of it is...
No, his concern sucks.
If it's the
because
best...
Because it's going against the actual idea of art. That's what the Academy is saying, is like, you can create art. It has to be new art. And here's the percentage of new art you must create if it's a sequel. And he didn't do that.
Right. But he's concerned... that if it is, if it's going to change Denis Villeneuve's art to create new music when the other music is the better choice, he's going to make a lesser product because the studios want him to try to win an award because awards is prestigious. It changes, it influences how someone makes their art. Why not be nominated? If it's the best music, it's the best music. And if it's not, it's not. What is the percent of... I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
I think that rationale is a little like, he's like, watch out for this slippery slope where people might make decisions not based on what's best for their art, but instead based on trying to win an award. And like, that's already a thing, bro. Like that's not like a slippery slope that we need to avoid. Like we very much live in that world already. Like the term Oscar bait exists for a reason. Like we already do that. So like, you can get off your high horse about it, Hans.
Okay. Interesting take.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I actually don't think also that like, It seems weird to like rule it out on like a technicality like that. Be like, well, it's too similar because they could have just like not nominated them and like not said anything about it. Like based on same rationale, but like don't make it seem like he's like breaking a rule. Just be like, no.
Well, I think that would have been a tough sell when it. I think it won last year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I guess like that's to then not be nominated the next year for literally the same music, I guess.
Right.
People would have questions. Well,
but that's the thing. It's like you won based on this music. You reused it again. You're not going to win again a second time for doing the bare minimum.
Yeah. Fair point. I mean, that's the Academy's argument as well.
Yeah. The Academy, I rarely I'm on the side standing of the on, Academy of Arts and Sciences, yeah. But I am definitely with the man on this one.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into Should I Go See It?
This week, we'll be talking about three films. The first is Subservience. Is that the correct way to say that?
Subservience?
You got it. It follows, according to IMDb.com, it follows a struggling father who purchases a domestic sim to help care for his house and family, unaware she will gain awareness and turn deadly. Oh, sim, as in like, an Android. I thought it was like correct. A SIM card. And then I was like, well, this doesn't make sense. Okay. Haven't we done this? This is like a grown-up Mathegan.
Yeah.
But with Megan Fox, which actually then works better because she is a Megan. Megan Mathegan Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, this movie looks dumb.
Should we go see it?
Should we go see it?
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, can I get cool. The titular question, please? Thank you. Okay. No, you should not go see it. Season one of Westworld, this ain't. You know what I mean? It is another AI run amok story. As you alluded to, Megan Fox plays a housekeeping robot that overrides her programming to do everything in her power to improve the life of her primary user, even at the expense of others, etc., and turns violent. So... And then there's also this subplot of the protagonist being a construction worker and his coworkers losing their jobs to synthetics, and that's not a particularly interesting part of the story.
They took our jobs.
Yeah, the writing is pretty
standard. Do they call them like derogatory names?
They call them Sparks.
I knew that was
you knew that. Yeah, you got it. You were two steps ahead on that one. The direction of the movie is fine. It feels like a made-for-Netflix movie. It's on Netflix now. It was a theater release. It went quickly to Netflix. It feels like a Netflix movie. The major issue for me, though, in this movie is the performances. Like, Fox is good as the android. Like, she's no T-1000, but she gets the job done. All the other actors, though, especially the protagonists, are just not. They're just kind of weak. And then you couple a weak performance with a lackluster script and the idea we've already established is pretty worn out. And there's just not a lot going on with this movie. What
Did
it feels like,
AJ, Megan Fox to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the T is the is
oh
the
yeah, yeah, 10, yeah
the T-101 or whatever the 800 yep, series. Yep, I don't know.
Yeah.
What this boils down to is this should have been a Black Mirror episode where Megan Fox is the celebrity star, because Black Mirror has reached a point where like every season they usually get a handful of like actual like really big stars to come in and do their own episode. Like I heard Paul Giamatti, I think, is in the next season. Like this would have been a great Black Mirror episode where you cut out the subplot about the workforce. You just make it about the home android. You throw Megan Fox in as the celebrity guest star and good. And you're good. You're good. You don't. That would have been great. Instead, we have just a really weak movie.
Yeah, I mean, I read as soon as I read that description on IMDb, I wanted to erase it from my mind. Okay.
Yeah, and we just did that movie Afraid, which was also about AI like running amok in a house, and that was way better acted and way more clever in terms of the integration of AI. So there's just so many better options to watch than this one.
What was that movie that was on like Nickelodeon or Disney growing up from the 90s? Do you remember that one?
I need more.
It was like the house was AI, and it was the woman who was Al Bundy's wife was the voice of the house. Smart House.
I have no recollection of the events you're describing.
You don't remember this?
No.
Oh, boys. Yeah, Katie Siegel plays the fucking android. Anyways, okay, cool. Okay,
next.
Can Megan... follow-up question. Can Megan mm-hmm. Fox act? Have we established this? Is she a good actor?
I think she could be. I think we see flashes of it, but I just don't think she gets a lot of good parts, unfortunately. or she's got a bad agent. They're making bad selections. I don't know what she's being offered, but I've seen flashes of it for sure. I think she could be. I think one of these days she'll take she'll get a real good meaty dramatic turn in an A24 movie or something, and adjust her image. Maybe we'll see.
Love that. Speaking of meaty and dramatic, I would love to see the new Pam Anderson movie when it comes out. That's supposed to be
in my mind thing. When I said that. Yes, The Last Showgirl is supposed to be incredible.
She plays a Vegas showgirl that is too old to be on stage, and they boot her off, and then she has like this existential crisis of what she does with her life.
Yeah,
starring Demi Moore as well, fan favorite. Friend of the show.
Sounds like the premise of the show Hacks, except with a dancer instead of a comedian.
Yeah, basically.
Perhaps. Okay.
Second film, Y2K. We all lived through this. Remember this? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? According to IMDb.com, two high school nobodies make the decision to crash the last major celebration before the new millennium on New Year's Eve, 1999. The night becomes even crazier than they could ever dreamed when the clock strikes midnight. Bill, should I go see it?
No, you can skip it. The whole first act is like a less funny Superbad. Like you have the two mismatched best friends who are losers and they're trying to get to a party. And it's like, it just follows all those same beats, but just not as funny. And then act one ends. And it becomes a horror comedy when the robots come alive at midnight and now they're on the run and it becomes kind of like a action-ish movie. But it never strikes the right tonal balance. It's kind of all over the place. It's not that funny. Like a couple laugh out loud moments, but a handful, if that. It's just not that great. I think what I noticed was as soon as the robots turn and it's New Year's Eve and they're at a house party and the robots go ballistic and they start killing people in like clever, gruesome ways, it's great. That whole scene is magic. Like that, it feels like that entire scene was what they started with and then they just built a script around it. Like, wouldn't it be cool if Y2K actually happened and the robots turned on us? Like, that's the premise.
Wait.
And then the rest of it is, yes.
When you say the robots, what do you mean the robots?
Like the toaster and like the microwave.
The dishwasher?
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Anything that has an electronic card, whatever, a lot of fucking microchip in it, all of a sudden becomes sentient and it finds ways to kill people. And then they like amalgamate together. And like, it's really clever. It's really clever. And later in the movie, they have more of the robots and they've built themselves up. And it's really cool, practical like effects, lots of wires and stuff like that. So they get some props for that.
Oh, too. So like the toaster joins forces with the
right, with the power wheels.
To be the head of the refrigerator.
Yes. Yeah. An old iMac like on the head, like with the screen showing things to them. It's clever.
So fucking dumb.
But the problem for me with this movie, the biggest problem was act two, because, you know, they have act one ends, New Year's Eve, everything goes ballistic, the whole movie changes. And now to get safe, they go to like an abandoned warehouse or factory, whatever, in town that has no robots and no power. And it's nighttime because it's New Year's Eve. So now we have 45 minutes of them with no robots around. It's just characters talking. It's all at dark because it's all at night and it just feels very samey, and I like started to just get so uninterested in the movie. And then of course the third act comes around and they decide they need to make a stand, and it becomes, you know, the end of the movie. And there's a funny cameo at the end of the movie that actually worked pretty well for me because I lived through it. I don't know if it would work for everybody, but overall it's just the whole thing is just affair. I just didn't do much for me, and I was excited for it because I live through that. In fact, the best part of the movie is the soundtrack, because they're pulling all the music from the late 90s, which was the prime of my youth and I still listen to this day. So that was exciting. But other than that, no thanks.
Did you physically have to go to a movie theater to see this, or was it on streaming?
No, this one I saw in theaters.
Okay. Was it at least like an hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was 90 minutes, give or take.
Oh, well.
So they kept it pretty tight, but again, it didn't. It felt like 3 hours because of that act two.
Interesting. I don't want to know who the game.
So how far are we from this being good and cool? Because it seems like there's some good and cool elements.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe for people of the right age, I guess I would recommend a max stream watch type of situation, but definitely not a theater visit for anybody. Okay. If that makes
sense. We're pretty far. We're pretty far away, it seems like.
I meant watch it just for the cameo that you speak of.
Yeah, yeah. Again, if you live through it, you'll get a couple chuckles, but it's just, as a movie, it's not great.
Do you want to tell us who the cameo is?
No, I don't want to spoil it, because it was a surprise for me, and I really enjoyed that.
Was it someone musical?
I'm not going to say.
Is it Britney Spears?
No, it's not Britney Spears, I will say that.
Was it Eminem?
Okay, next. Next movie.
Was it like Fred Durst in his stupid red hat?
I'm not saying anything. We're moving on. Okay.
Last film is The Order. Ooh, this looks good. According to IMDb.com, a series of bank robberies and car heists frighten communities in the Pacific Northwest. A lone FBI agent believes that the crimes were not the work of financially motivated criminals, but rather a group of dangerous domestic terrorists. Ooh,
uh-oh.
Bill, should I go see it?
Yes. Let's get to yes from me.
This looks good.
Yeah, this is a good one. So it's based on a true story about white supremacists and domestic terrorism in the 80s. So this is like a lesser known event that occurred in the mid to late 80s. And it's kind of a precursor to when you get into Ruby Ridge and then eventually Waco and eventually Oklahoma City. So it's kind of pre all that. And you have Jude Law, who is phenomenal as a hard-boiled FBI agent with a haunted past. And a big old mustache and an American accent.
God.
It's just so great.
I don't think I've ever seen Jude Law do an American accent.
Oh, he's great. He's great. And then it follows your standard detective narrative. Like, Jude Law follows the clues, builds his case. Like, it's a movie that knows what it's doing. There's no sidetracking. There's no real distractions or subplots. It's pretty straightforward.
Love this.
Executed well.
I love this.
It reminds me of like a pre Yellowstone, Tyler Sheridan type movie, like a Hell or High Water or Wind River.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like not quite on that level. I'm not going to say it's as good as those. Those are all timers, but it's like in that ballpark. And so I enjoyed it. I don't really have a ton to say. That's kind of it. It's just a solid movie.
I love
that.
Man.
So this is the first time hearing of this movie. This movie is available in theaters to watch. It's like a real actual normal release, or is it limited, or what's up?
Sure is. Yep. I saw it in the multiplex.
Go down, bring your money, hand it to the person, walk in, see a movie. Huh?
It's popcorn, take a seat.
Well, good news is for those who can't make it to the theater a lot, it is an MGM movie, which is now owned by Amazon. So hopefully in the near future, we can get this on Prime for a good watch.
Oh, big business brain, AJ.
There you go.
Connecting the dots. Love it.
Yeah. No, good film. If you're interested in that, in detective movies, if you're interested in that subject matter, if you're interested in a kind of a dark, gritty movie, like it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
And Jude Law pulls off the American accent. No problem. We're not worried about it.
I didn't bump on it. I thought it was great.
An international treasure, AJ.
He's got point. I think to avoid the accent issue, he definitely like lowers it an octave. He gets a little gravelly with it. He sounds good.
It's just strange casting, you know. Like if I was casting my hard-boiled Pacific Northwestern detective, Jude Law wouldn't be at the top of my list.
Well, he's from New York. He moved to Colorado.
Transferred after his wife divorced him.
For reasons you'll find out. Understood. Actually, they don't even dig super deep into that, which I appreciate it, but they definitely drop some breadcrumbs on Haunted Past.
Good cast of people. Jude Law, Nicholas Holt, really hot right now. Mark Maron.
Nicholas Holt's great in it.
I kind of have to see this movie. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Check it out.
All right, boys, let's talk about Netflix and Bill. What are we streaming on the television set?
I got a couple quick ones. One, I've officially done with Dune Prophecy. I'm out.
No, I was just about to start. Tell me more.
He's pulled the
plug. I don't know.
Folks.
I watched the first two or three, I think, and then maybe I started four. And I got midway through it, and I literally was like, I'm just going to go and finish watching Kill Bill. Bye. And I just left the episode in the middle of it. It didn't do it for me.
Brutal.
So that I'm out on. Watched a three-part documentary about who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Still haven't figured it out, folks.
Not technically. No, they have not. I mean, they end the series with some interesting thoughts. But it's good. It's well-made. I remembered the event happening. I mean, you couldn't avoid it during that time frame when it occurred, but I did not remember the details of the event. And so I will say it is super heavy. Like, I almost stopped after the first episode because it's just so intense when they talk about what actually happened. And we're not talking about some rando killing another rando. We're talking about a 6-year-old child. So it's like really can be hard to get through. But as far as laying out all the evidence and the actual construction of it as a documentary and the interviews with all the, you know, pertinent people, like it's really well put together. So if that case is of interest to you, to me, it seems like the definitive thing to watch about it.
Hannah watched it. I popped in and out. Crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
But to your point, like the interviews, I love the way that Netflix interviews are shot. So it was really nice to like, they have a style, but yeah, crazy story, dude. And after all this time, like, what the fuck?
I know. And then the last thing is Amazon Prime is doing a show that I had marked in my calendar for a while now called Secret Level, or Secret Levels. I'm not sure which. It is an anthology show of usually 10 to 20 minute episodes of CG created stories based on video games. So they could be any different type of style, any different type of whatever, but there's, you know, a real interesting take on Pac-Man. There's an episode about Unreal Tournament, which is a video game I played as a kid that I loved. There's an episode based on Armored Core, which is a game series I've played. So there's a lot of really cool stuff in there. And even stuff that I didn't play, like Warhammer. I know of Warhammer, but never dug into it. That episode might have been my favorite. It's probably the best action movie I've seen all year. And it was a 20-minute episode of a TV show. It's just the whole series is just dripping with style, and it's just so cool. So anyone who has any passing interest in, you don't have to watch the whole show, just like pick an episode of a game that you might know and check it out, because it's really, really good. And I believe more episodes are to come soon. So Secret Level on Amazon Prime, big thumbs up.
Watch a few episodes. I agree.
Yeah, love it.
That series goes hard.
Yeah, oh, it's super hardcore, super violent, depending on the episode, and super hardcore. So just be ready for that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for me. AJ, what are you watching?
Boys, I watched the Hallmark Chiefs movie, Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story.
I have been trying to watch it for the very purpose of this podcast.
We got drama. Yet. We got drama.
Cannot find it anywhere. Tell us what happened.
Apparently, is that after a Hallmark movie debuts, it goes on Peacock because they're sister brother networks owned by the same company, whatever. It was on for literally 3 days, and then it was removed off Peacock. And the only way you can watch it now is Hallmark cable or on like fucking FUBU. I don't know what's going on, folks, but we got drama.
Oh, but you don't know the source of the drama? We don't know why it was pulled?
I've been digging on Reddit every single day. Every single day.
If it is available on FUBO, then it's got to be a licensing issue, I would think. But
who knows?
Okay. So, well, let me ask you this. Is it worth me hunting around to find it? You saw it. Share.
I'll tell you what. I already did the hunting, Bill. 6 p.m. tonight, Hallmark Channel. Thursday, December 12th, 6 p.m., Hallmark Channel. Mark your calendars.
Set the DVR.
That's when it's on.
It's fine. Like, it's clearly because it's the Chiefs and it's shot a lot, I think, at Arrowhead, and fucking Donna Kelsey's in it and all these old Chiefs players are in it. There's a higher production value, right? And you're going to see some actors in it that are like, oh my God, like they have, like, I know that person. I've recognized that person. Like, it's clearly like they put a little extra time and effort into it. Mm-hmm. But still a Hallmark movie. It does have a crazy twist at the end, Craig. We're not talking Christmas train level twists, but we got a good one. Okay. Overall, it was fine. Date night movie, couch night movie. It is what it is.
All right, fair enough.
Not changing anyone's lives.
I mean, based on the trailer, there's actual real actors in it. Like, there's some faces I recognize. I was like, okay. This isn't just like, you know, go to the central casting book, flip all the way to the back and just like pick a couple people.
I mean, there's got to be athletes making cameos, I presume.
Yeah. You're not going to get...
And they had the official licensing, Mahomes. Right?
Yeah, like it's all licensed by the Chiefs, but you don't get any Mahomes. You don't get any Travis Kelce. You don't get that.
Yeah, so that, That's the part that I'm bumping on. It's like
shocking.
Chief, what do I care about Chiefs history for? I don't need old time. Like
that's a whole premise of the movie.
Old timey Chiefs guy. Yeah, I got nothing.
You
got
to watch the movie. The whole point of it is this connection to the past, and that's how they build their future. Bridges.
Wow.
Synergy.
That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm.
You do get Andy Reid though. Sorry.
I was gonna say you get Andy Reid.
You get Andy Reid.
Doing what? Farting onto a birthday cake?
No.
Do you get you get Marty Schottenheimer or Hank Stram or anybody?
Just watch the movie.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It's fine. It's passable. It is not the best Hallmark movie I've seen. It is not the worst. It is in the upper tier of Hallmark movies. So, upper tier.
Okay.
Chiefs still suck though.
Sure, of course.
They unfortunately do not suck.
They got a horseshoe up their ass. That's what it is. That's what you get to watch is Andy Reid's sit on a birthday cake that's in the shape of a horseshoe. Okay.
All right. Craig, what tickets? Are you watching?
Oh, no. What did Craig?
I got one Netflix and Bill. I'm watching season 2 of the Apple TV show Silo.
Oh, how is that?
Sci-fi adventure where people live underground. Jessica Ferguson, I believe.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson, excuse me.
Love her.
So I watched season 1 of this last year. It was fine.
I think I did too.
It's very like serious. It's one of those like sci-fi drama shows that could really use a little bit of levity like here or there because it's just serious as a heart attack all the time. You're like, "Oh my God." But there's some pretty good names in it. This is actually my big criticism of it of season 1 was there was like an epic bait and switch because Rashida Jones is all over the trailers and she literally is only in episode 1 and frankly only in like the first 20 minutes of episode 1.
Yeah.
And she is absolutely not a factor in the show whatsoever. Like no recurring, nothing. So that was like the big like bait and switch of the first season. But second season is pretty good. It's okay. The Apple TV stuff is interesting. It all seems to be fairly high floor. The ceiling is not always the size you'd like for it to be.
That's how I felt about
interesting way to put it.
Whatchamacallit, Bill?
Wolves?
The Acolyte with Carrie Ann Moss. I was like, oh, I love Carrie Ann Moss. She's gonna be on the Acolyte, and then she dies within the first 3 minutes of the episode. First episode. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's tough.
Speaking of Apple TV Plus shows. I want to start that new, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name? The Cate Blanchett show.
Oh, yes.
I heard that was phenomenal.
What's I feel like I heard program? That was good as well, but I don't remember the premise.
The Curious Case of Disclaimer.
Disclaimer, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard about that one.
Let's do it.
So anyways, okay. All right. Tickets here.
Correct? Tickets here. Tickets, guys.
So, as we have mentioned this time of year, the next 2 weeks, just a flurry of movies hitting
the
cinemas.
Like a snowflake.
So, we have the Bob Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown.
How does it feel?
Which I will be seeing at my earliest possible chance.
Early reviews looking very positive for that.
Early reviews for A Complete Unknown do look great. Nosferatu early reviews also look good. Then we have some of like family movies like Mufasa and Sonic 3 coming out. We have Kraven the Hunter, which is out right now, and I haven't had a chance to go yet. And The Brutalist, a couple other things nominated for Best Picture that are coming out around Christmas time. So yeah, a lot to see. And so hopefully these next couple of episodes will be at the end of the year and the beginning of January will be jam-packed with reviews.
And we're gonna go see some movies together between Christmas and New Year's.
God willing, AJ, we will.
All right, folks. Next time you hear from us will be our holiday special.
Talking holiday movies. Thank you for listening to the Should I Go See It podcast. Please make sure to follow on Instagram @ Should I Go See It.